Blog Talk Radio.
You know, I'm still taken aback by the fact that you would question me. Let me just bring
you
up to speed because
I'm
lived under a rock. Don't interrupt me. Don't talk when I'm talking. You had asked me to be a guest on your program, so sit there and listen, Toots, and let me bring you up to speed.
Welcome to Ringside Wrap, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on major pro wrestling and MMA promotions, the occasional history lesson, and interviews with legends of yesterday and stars of today. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Ringside Wrap.
Hello again, everyone. It's Wednesday night, February 29th, 2012. Yes, February 29th. It is leap year. Not going to be another one again for 4 years. And if I have to hear that intro from producer Rich Tate one more time, there will not be a show from 4 days from now, let alone 4 years from now. This is Ringside Wrap. I am Mike Sempervivi, and Les Thatcher is not here with us. Mike Moynihan is not here with us. Of course, Rich Tate is not here with us, which leads us to the fifth Beatle, and what a Beatle he is. And I don't like looking at you as the fifth Beatle, Brutal Bob Evans. I don't like doing that because that means you're just, like, set to the side. I say, because of Rich Tate and his nefarious actions to begin this show with that promo from Adam Pearce that he cut on me last week on this very program, that you now replace him as the fourth Beatle.
Well, I think it just speaks to your charm that you managed to soothe the savage beast in Adam Pearce. And after a few minutes, you won him over and actually got him to open up and share some thoughts on his career and what he's up to in the wrestling business. By the way, can we just say I've known Adam for a long time, and you and I have spoken about what Adam and I went through, and I don't think we really got a chance to share all the ideas we wanted to a Ring of Honor together, and I know we both had a lot of mutual respect for each other. but I can tell you right now, Adam Pearce should be somewhere either in a position where I actually haven't seen Adam wrestle in a long time, but I know he should be somewhere where he should be talking because probably one of the best talkers I've heard in a long time, and those guys are going away. So I think we should. So I just give Adam a shout out and tell him that he's definitely in my thoughts, and I'm glad he's on the way to recovering. I'm glad things are going well for him. So I really hope there's a spot in the business for guys like Adam Pearce, because guys like that, and of course you mentioned me last week, and thank you for that. It's kind of ridiculous that as soon as you turn 30, you somehow get shunned from the pro wrestling industry. So,
or hey, look, even the guy that he's at Mortal War with right now, Colt Cabana. You know,
exactly.
If you don't look a certain way, and we're going to get to this later on too, because it will kind of play into talking about Raw. And one of a thing that Les and I, and Bob, as you know, listening in every week, that we talk about a lot when it comes to the last of the breed, or being the last of a dying breed. And then we're going to start with Raw, obviously, because that's the biggest news, not only because we're on the road to WrestleMania, also because Monday was a good show in a lot of ways. But one thing it came back to, even off right at the beginning of the show, we're the last of a breed. And it's true.
They are
the last of a breed. Of course, my whole thing with this is, too, Triple H being the one, and again, I'm not there. I don't know what he does, and I don't want to put anything on him, but, hey, Triple H, if you don't have any power, obviously soon you will. And you know, you don't have to be the last of that breed. And Bob, what are your thoughts? And what are your thoughts on Monday anyway, because you just saw the show, before we get into any more depth on stuff? What was your overall view of Monday night?
Well, I tweeted this out a couple of weeks ago, and I call it the the six-month WrestleMania season, not 6 months, excuse me, the six-week WrestleMania season. It's where the WWE creative puts away their stupid pills. Usually it ends up being a situation where everything kind of makes sense lining up into WrestleMania. Not always perfect sense, but I swear they shove the creative guys out of the way and just the boys are allowed to actually do what they do. Because it reflected in the Punk and Jericho promo. It reflected perfectly in the Rock and Cena promo. I can't think of, you know, I mean, I thought actually Punk and Jericho did a great job. And then Rock and Cena just, you know, put everybody to bed. And in a good way is what I mean. You know, shut the lights off. It doesn't get any better than that. And, you know, there were actually people who thought they were shooting on each other, which made me kind of laugh. But,
yeah.
You know, they're doing business like business should have been, should be done, and Les will tell you that's how business, you know. Jerry Lawler said it a long time ago. Jerry Jarrett said it. They had a big piece of paper over their desk when they were booking, and it said personal issues draw money. And they're just trying to make it personal. It reminded me of Brett and Shawn before Brett and Shawn got real. You know, it reminded me of that nice dynamic, like it woke people up, you know, which is what you needed. It kind of... You know, why we, if you want to talk, quote unquote, swerving people, that's how you swerve people. You take a little 1 or 2 degrees click to the right, and that's all you need to do. You don't need to go veer off into another country. You just need to switch it up a little bit. And, you know, I think they've done just enough where now we can't predict what the next accusation is going to be. Because I thought the accusation of Rye. In real life, in a real term, I think it's the stupidest thing in the world because, again, Meltzer said it. Meltzer's promo on his show was perfect. He's like, just shut up. If one of the greats wants to come and do his thing, and if he doesn't have a chance to wave to you and shake your hand, you know, by the way, we should all kind of be past that. If you're offended by that, then, you know, I think you're worried about too many things. And that's definitely the middle of the card guys. The main event guys might be talking about it just to promote it, but they're not worried about it. And, you know, if The Rock can't come over and spend eight and a half minutes with everybody, I'm sorry. We'll just let him come in and up the pay-per-view buys by 25%, and that'll be enough, and everybody makes an extra 15 grand in their check. That'd be enough for me. I'd let Rock not say hi to me if I could throw a couple G's in my check every week. So, you know, I think those guys are too sensitive. I think that's overblown. I think it goes away. Once the WrestleMania buy rate comes in. So, because I think they added some buys yesterday. I think that was a ticket selling promo by both those guys.
Yeah, a year ago we talked about, you know, one thing WWE, you know, they went through, God, the ticket from the GM storyline to Nexus to blowing Vince up. So they have trouble coming up with something and sticking with it and making it and really getting all they can out of it. But one thing we would always say about WrestleMania is when they lead into it, you don't screw up. When they have their mindset on something, they're serious about something, when it comes to top guys, you know, they're usually very good at it. And we had a year of like, oh, God, what are they doing? And just like that, on Monday night, you know, it's Cena is not a joke. It's the easiest thing. Everyone to it, turn Cena heel. Do we turn? No, you have Cena punch somebody in the face. You know, people respond to Cena. They responded to him after Money in the Bank with Punk. Against Del Rio, they responded to him and he was kicking the crap out of Kane. There's been just a handful of times where he was dropping the shtick, and yes, I mean, I will always make fun of the fact that you know he's a toughie when the Boston accent comes out. But, you know, when he's whipping at somebody's ass or when it's dropping the funny and just being witty and still punching somebody in the face, that's all you need. And that's what they found out with him. And The Rock, people thinking that this was a shoot, or it was a shoot, just kind of made me laugh, too, because he is an actor. He is very good. He doesn't fluff up his lines. And, you know, one thing that everybody, oh, God, you know, The Rock, he's taking somebody's spot. Wrong. You always create a spot for somebody like The Rock if they want to come back. And the truth was told when he stuttered. He flubbed the line. He was taken aback by what John Cena said. Is this real? No, it's The Rock being The Rock, and that's why you need to shut up when he wants to come back and work.
Absolutely. The thing is, a lot of guys, and especially, I'm sure you know, Mike, you've been around it a little bit, and I've been around it a lot. The independent wrestling, and I get it, you know, with Mikey B, Mike Bennett, I get it with that where it's there's guys around here that are jealous, and there's fat, short, dumpy guys who are jealous of Mike Bennett. And the way I look at it as is, okay, so if Mike Bennett goes away tomorrow, do you get his spot? Is that your spot? No, it's not your spot. Somebody else would be in that spot. Somebody else who looks, acts, wrestles like Mike Bennett would get your spot. If The Rock goes away, you don't get The Rock's spot. So that's why I don't understand people that are jealous of The Rock's spot, because it's not your spot. It's The Rock's spot. Or, you know what? You know who would get The Rock's spot? John Cena. That's who would get The Rock's spot. So
yeah.
That's the whole thing. Like, why do guys worry about The Rock coming in and, like you said, taking the spot? That's the most ridiculous thing in the world. First of all, the WWE's world is a world of abundance. If they can have 19 guys on top that'll draw money, I'm sure they won't turn anybody down. So let's get rid of that theory, too. The fact is, The Rock was a guy, and Kevin Kelly will tell you this, when you have him on again, please ask him the story of Dwayne Johnson and The Rock and him sitting there and going over and over and over and working on his promos and working on his personality and working on how he made himself The Rock. Yes, he was a natural to some degree, but Dwayne Johnson always knew exactly what he wanted to be. And Kevin tells a beautiful story where The Rock, with everybody against him, just kept working at it and kept working at it and kept working at it and made it happen. You know, and there's a story that Vince McMahon tells, I think I've mentioned this to you before, maybe not, but in the Boston Herald, the last time they were in town, they just did a little promo thing, and they managed to get a few comments from Vince. And one of the comments from Vince was, we had a big meeting where I challenged the whole locker room to step up, you know, like they do now. And one person pulled me aside and said he wanted to lead the WWE into the next generation, and that was John Cena. Funny how that works out. So we had two guys here who obviously knew exactly who they were and what they wanted to be. Everybody else be damned, because they knew exactly who they were and how they wanted to do it, and they both got into pretty good spots. But don't tell me, the jealousy of The Rock and John Cena makes me laugh, because they're two of the hardest working guys in the company. And you can actually bring that up with Maria about John Cena. She speaks about him in glowing terms, you know, how much of a locker room leader he is, and how much he's taken up the slack when The Undertaker's not there, because The Undertaker's part-time now. We'll leave that up to Maria, because she tells a lot better stories than I do. But it's just one of those things where I laugh, because these are the guys that deserve to be on top. You know, Undertaker and Triple H, another match that we're all looking forward to. I'm sorry, Triple H is one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. You can be mad about it. You can say he stepped on people to get there. But the bottom line, he was there, and he was in a lot of main events. And in my opinion, I think Undertaker's the last 4 or 5 years is the best WrestleMania guy of all time. He's Mr. WrestleMania the last four years. He's had the four best matches at WrestleMania, arguably. Edge, the two Shawn Michaels matches, and Triple H. Go back and watch that. Go back and watch that Edge match. It's fantastic. It was just overshadowed by the Ric Flair Shawn Michaels thing, but that match was awesome. You know, so all these guys deserve their spot. And if you're talking about the last of a dying breed, I completely agree with you, because there's no one else to take those spots. There's a lot of guys complaining, but I don't see anybody stepping up aside from Punk, who knows exactly who he is, by the way, Jericho, who's 40. You know, and not going to be around forever, because he's got other things going on. So, I mean, you know, Mike, who do you think is going to step up, you know?
It's the whole thing, and I can't answer that now without throwing an asterisk on it
because
of stuff later. But, you know, I can't remember if I said this to Les. I think I actually said it to Mike when Les had to get off last week, Mike Mooneyham, when he was, don't be mad that The Rock's there and you can't access The Rock. See that guy over there, Chris Jericho? You know, you look at the last couple of WrestleManias, it's Undertaker, it's Jericho, it's Michaels, it's some combination of for the most part, those guys, no insult to anybody else, but they have made the show in one way or another. Go picture Chris Jericho's brain for everything you can right now. Instead of having hatred towards The Rock, go do what John Cena does, and I don't know how he can do his schedule in the way that he does it and actually be married. I don't know how he does it and still the security things and all those things that he does. You know, follow that. Try to temper it to you and what you can do. I was so blown away, and I'm kind of glad Jericho rubbed it in a little bit on Monday, because I know some of this comes from sure Triple H saying we are the last of a breed. Jericho brought it up. You know, people being jealous over the Rock spot. You know, these guys, you should. And Triple H, Undertaker, Jericho, Rock. A couple of years ago, if you would have said all those guys would be wrestling at WrestleMania this year, you would have said you're crazy. You know, they would have been retired. They would have been this, that, the other. The Rock will never come. All of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Be real happy that they're there. Now, here's where my asterisk comes in. Because I look at guys like Dolph Ziggler. I look at guys like Jack Swagger to a degree, although not exactly the same. Alex Riley.
Uh-huh.
You know, guys like that who you've got a look, you've got natural charisma, you can talk. All these things where I wish and I hope, and it's never going to be what it was. Guys can't travel and go up and down the road like they did. They're not sent to Japan. They're not sent for learning excursions, all these things. But I do hope more developmental opens up. We slow it down. You have places all over the place where I know everything is viral. I know everyone can see everything that everyone does right off the bat. And we have guys being voted on for Rookie of the Year who had like two matches, you know. It can't be the same, but you can at least go back and temper. Instead of being on the road, you know what, when you go work the, let's say, the Northwest Territory, have it in Seattle and cover a bunch of states where you're not running shows every day like you used to back in the day. Maybe some of those days are spent doing improv. It's so important. Hey, Colt Cabana, Chris Jericho, I think Maria did it. A lot of people do Second City and improv-type studio stuff because you need to be comfortable. You need the ability to do different things. Incorporate that. You know, if you can't have all these cookie-cutter guys and then build them up to a point and then stop them and let them bang their heads. Alberto Del Rio, if you would have told me Dolph Karras Jr. when he was getting his head knocked off by Mirko Krokop in Pride, and from this, what I saw of him in Mexico and in Florida, that's not the same dude. You know,
right.
But he should not be at the point he's at where he came up and he bumps his head and it's like, oh, we've lost some faith. And they have too many guys. They really, you know, there needs to be job guys. There needs to be mid-card guys, upper mid-card guys, and main eventers. If there's all of these shades of gray and everybody looks the same and nobody ever gets out of a point, that's bad. I still have a fear in the back of my mind that somebody on that writing team is going to see an old WCW tape and go, you know what, Jack Swagger and Dolph Ziggler should really be the new Varsity Club. And Vicky can jump up and down on a trampoline. It just that thought terrifies me. So I wish they would take better care of what they have, and I hope that they are building towards the future because, and I brought this up with Les, I have a fear that, you know, we all grew up as wrestling fans, you know, for the most part, the ones listening to this show or were in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
What they're cultivating now is the Harlem Globetrotters. You know, Brian talked about it when he went to the SmackDown show, and there were people there who had no idea what was going on. Hey, the wrestling's in town. We get to go see WWE. And then they leave and don't buy the next pay-per-view. They don't buy the merchandise. They only buy the stuff and care about it when it's there. And they had no idea what's going on. And that thought really scares me because what's the point of doing professional wrestling every week then?
Well, and that's the funny thing is, too, that's exactly, if you read, like, especially Bret Hart's book, he goes into it quite a bit, and a few of the other guys do. That's actually what Vince wanted to do in the 80s. He wanted to make the name bigger than the guys. The problem was the guys were already very well established, and then already knew how to get themselves over because they had so much experience. You got to remember, it's so different from how it used to be because Vince basically had an all-star team every single night.
Yeah,
and he had guys
great things came to pass.
And he had guys who had drawn money in a lot of places. And they all came in and they all were going to the top, but they all knew how to get their way to the top. See, I kind of fall in between this argument. I don't think young guys should be bitching and complaining, because the bitching and complaining has been around forever. I've been in the business for 20 years. Les has been in for 51. I'm sure there were guys in 1971 that were complaining about how the top guys don't let the middle guys do their thing and blah, 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 blah. I'm sure that's always happened. The problem is it's I don't think there's enough guys, and I think this was brought up too. I think the guys making a couple hundred grand a year, hey, it's a nice living. I'm not going to rock the boat. I'm not going to, you know, I should be thankful I have a job. And there is an aspect to that. We should have gratitude for that. But I also think you should be like, well, how can I help myself by helping the company? How can I become a main eventer? You know, because everybody complains about The Rock, but then anyone walk up to The Rock and say, I want to do what you do? He'd probably, you know, hey, who knows? Maybe he would just keep on walking, but you know what? Maybe he wouldn't. I've always, when I've asked guys for advice, when I go to WWE as an extra, they've always been helpful. Now, they may just be polite or diplomatic or whatever, just help out the guy that was nice to them, but so what? It's still advice, and it's still good advice. And that's the thing. I don't know if guys are trying hard enough to get to the top, because it's super hard to get to the top, you know? And
well,
that's,
Bob, I want
you know.
To hear, let's take a short break now, because obviously I want to get back into this more, too.
Sure.
So we'll be right back here very shortly on Ringside Wrap.
Georgia wrestling fans, you're going to want to make your plans to be at Johnny G's the first, third, and fifth Sunday of every month, 2 p.m. bell time, for Rampage Pro Wrestling television taping. And fans, if you're in Middle Georgia, make sure that you watch Rampage Pro Wrestling on Fox 24, Saturday 9 a.m. on the My 41.2, Saturday at 10 p.m. Cox Communications Cable, Thursday 8, Saturday at noon, and of course, Rampage Rewind, the one-half-hour show on Cox Communications throughout the schedule. Fans, be there.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Soley? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? What happened in Columbus on my birthday? Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
This is Miss Rachel from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Champions of Wrestling. Every Friday night, The Empire presents the best in professional wrestling at the Academy Theater in Avondale State. We're also at the Masquerade every month or so. Check us out on Facebook. Just look for Platinum Championship Wrestling. And you'll get the latest details on all the hottest action from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Championship Wrestling. We get it. That's every Friday night at the Academy Theater and at the Masquerade as well every month. We'll see you there.
All right, we're back here on Ringside Wrap. Mike Sempervivi, along with Brutal Bob Evans. We'll be joined later on by the First Lady of ROH, Maria Kanellis, as well. But back into what we were talking about here, Bob. And, you know, I do want to, again, throw an asterisk on top of my asterisk. I'm not there. I do see, Les and I talked about it at length. There was a match a few months ago that Brian and Dave liked, a lot of people did. It was Kofi Kingston and Dolph Ziggler. And one thing that it drove me nothing, that I was so happy to hear Les say it on Wednesday when they were very lazy with their moves. Not saying they're like this all the time, but it's one of those things where it's like, you know, maybe you guys don't look as great as you think you do sometimes when you're complaining about somebody else. You better make sure that your house is in order. And, you know, there are things, John Cena, yes, he got the weird thing with the rapping game, but he took it and ran with it. And again, they busted their ass and they always try to make things look good and do their best. I'm not there all the time behind the scenes, but I do sometimes see guys who, I don't know if they're bitching or not, but guys who, they do kill themselves with their own mistakes in the ring. There's a lot of people that get very upset when Triple H was voted into the Observer Hall of Fame. There's a lot of people who bristle every time somebody calls him a great worker or anything like that. But it's like, when's the last time you saw any error, you know, in front of a Triple H punch? When's the last time you saw him, you know, screw up moves or any of that sort of stuff? And yes, it happens. And yeah, he sandbagged Scott Steiner and all that sort of stuff. But there's a reason that his peers and guys who came before him were so willing to put him in that hall and talk with him, you know, with the respect that they could. When he added to change his moves, he studied Harley Race. Came out instantly. If you ever saw Harley Race, you've seen some of the things Triple H does, you start to see it then. So, you know, like as you were saying, talking about, you know, some of these younger guys, and obviously you're around a lot of them in Ring of Honor and on the independent scene in the Northeast and everything. How much does a guy, how do you, and it's tough, obviously, because you're not there, but, you know, the best ways to walk the balance between trying to be happy that you have a job and not rock the boat too much, with also manning up and coming into Vince's office with your balls and just going, no, we need to do this.
Well, I can tell you, first of all, I love Kofi Kingston. I think Kofi Kingston, I think there were people that didn't like Kofi Kingston at the time when he was getting a push that kind of short-circuited his rise to the top. I think he could have been a much bigger player. For a guy who's responsible, who has a great attitude and is that athletic, tell me you can't put him with some great heels and see what he can do with it. I think Kofi can still be rehabbed to the point where he could be an upper guy. I don't know if he could be the guy. It's probably stretching too far, but you know what? Give it a shot. And as far as Dolph goes, Dolph impressed me in one match, which probably nobody remembers because it was a little thing, but I almost guarantee you that was one of the things that started getting him back on track again. He was just starting to do the Dolph Ziggler thing, but he wasn't doing anything with it at all. And then he was going to work a match with Rey Mysterio. It was probably 08 or 09, and it was on Raw, and it was going to be a two-minute squash. He was going to get a couple things in and just get beat by Rey. And I don't remember specifically what he did, but I remember what he did looked incredible. And I don't mean like a cool-looking move. His kicks, his punches. He got on top of Rey. He just had full steam ahead, just got tons of heat on Rey, calling him out, punking him out, come on, Rey, come on, you know, and just laying the boots on him right into the camera. You know, his boots were like flying into the camera right into your living room. And I was like, this kid is making every single piece of this 39 seconds of fame he has today, and he's making it count. And I was like, I bet somebody, you know, if I noticed it, I bet somebody else will notice. And all of a sudden, he started getting a little bit more TV time and a little bit more TV time. But the thing is, I think, and that was a couple years ago, but the thing is now, see, to me, it's easy to fight back when everybody's kind of talking bad about you. When people start talking good about you, I think it's hard to stay hungry. And I think you still have to almost, it's like the Patriots, you know. The Patriots could be 12-4, run the table in the AFC East and still say no one thought we could do it. That's always their whole thing. They try to create that hunger, you know. They try to create that adversity, you know. No one thought we could do it. Everyone hates us. Everyone thinks we stink. You know, and I don't know if enough guys have that, where I think Punk does, because Punk just seems like a grouchy guy, and he's a little different. So I think, and people don't always get attracted by different. I think a lot of people are repelled by different. So I think he actually has that, where maybe he's a polarizing individual. I don't mean personally, I just mean professionally. I think Colt Cabana's like that too. I've had people say, and I think Colt's good, but I think there's a lot of people that say, hey, Colt's great. You know, and then I've heard people say he's the worst. He's bad for the business. He exposes the business. I don't care for him. So, and I mean, I respect everybody's opinion on this one, because it's people on each side that have good points. And, you know, I personally think Colt's good, and Colt's a good value to a show. But, you know, that's only one opinion. So, I mean, it can go all over the map. But I still think that guys need to step up. And I don't necessarily mean you have to kick Vince's door down and say, this place sucks, I'm going to come in. Here I am to save your company, Vince. But, and I can use myself as an example. You know, I have a meeting coming up with Ring of Honor officials where I'm going to sit down and explain how maybe I could help them a little bit more. You know, it does have a lot to do with that hashtag why not Bob thing, because I think I should be contributing more to the company. I think I should be stepping up, and it's my responsibility to go to them and remind them of that, because they have to take care of 30 people, and WWE has to take care of 100 people. So, you know, yes, I got lost in the shuffle. Well, that was partially your fault too. You know, I have a hard time with guys who don't, you know, who bitch and moan behind the scenes, don't say anything, and then when they get let go, now all of a sudden they have tons to say. You know, I think Vince would have a lot of respect for you if you say, I think the way I've been handled sucks. Maybe you'd be a little nicer about it, but you say, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. But if you're put in that position, you better be able to do it, because you know WWE's attention span is very short. So if you screw up, then that's it. So you better be damn ready and damn prepared. So if you
now,
speak
wait,
up, then you better go for it.
I have to speak up because I'm ready and prepared for a break, because I need to also ready and prepare myself a little bit more for Maria Kanellis coming on. But glad you mentioned the hashtag Why Not Bob, because
right.
Ringside Rap has got a new Twitter handle as
yes,
well.
They
not
do.
Only can you go to Semper Vivi to get everything that you need, you can also, or Brutal Bob Evans for that matter, to get everything
right.
that you need. Now you go to Ringside Rap, at Ringside Rap, or the acronym, I don't even know what they call that thing, the A with the circle thing, Ringside Rap on Twitter. And we'll be
nice.
Back.
This is Alice Cooper for RADD.
We all got a long way to go.
There's a lot of things we have no control of in this world, but that's not the case with drunk driving. If you're going to drink, don't drive. Think ahead and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives on, and so should you.
If we all got a long way to go.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hey, parent, pick up your kids without embarrassing them with OMGPS, a navigation system that tells you how far away you need to park when you pick them up.
Keisha at mall. Proceed to outer food court.
Thanks, OMGPS.
OMGPS is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent, because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Solie? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
Hello there, I'm Susie Bogus. Kids have a lot on their plates these days. It can be hard as parents to stop and think about how something like learning music now can help them in the future. Music helps kids because it's a performing art, and children need to learn to perform well to succeed in society. Getting 85% on a math test is pretty good, but hitting 85% of the right notes during a concert isn't good enough for most students or their teachers. A special kind of practice and preparation goes into the discipline of performing music, and it helps kids perform better in all areas of their lives.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. March is Music in Our Schools Month.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
Hello, and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a 5, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back here on Ringside Wrap. I'm Mike Sempervivi, along with Brutal Bob Evans, filling in quite nicely for the legendary Les Thatcher. And joining us on the line now, she has been a diva, a model, a singer, a designer, an announcer, an apprentice, a web show host, and now she's a manager with benefits. And get your minds out of the gutter. She's a friend with benefits, and she's a manager. And see, I screwed all that up, so I'm just going to throw all that out of the way and welcome the First Lady of Ring of Honor, Miss Maria Kanellis. How are you?
I'm fantastic. You forgot Playboy cover girl. I can't do this interview now because, you forgot that one.
I would figure that everyone out there listening probably already knows that one.
I'm just playing.
Well, Maria, how are you? And then, Bob, I'd like to thank you very much for letting us have Maria on, talking to Mike Bennett, and letting us, kind of cajoling her to join us schlubs here on this program.
How you doing, MK? Maria.
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Wonderful. Good. Pay attention.
I am paying attention. There was like a weird echoing. It was not cool.
Well, I'm keeping the phone at a distance because I don't want Sempervivi to start saying weird stuff to you again. So I don't want to be a part of that.
That's what it was. That's comments. What the echo was. It was my excitement reverberating through everything. So I apologize
yes.
for that.
I didn't really get the whole friends with benefits. He is actually my boyfriend. Not just a friend thing.
No. This is a deep committed relationship. Hey, Maria. We were actually just talking about some of the stuff. Mike, we had Maria. We didn't have Maria. Maria was just there. We didn't. She came on her own. We didn't have to invite her. But Maria went. She had just stepped back into the ring a couple weeks ago, and so she was down to practice with some of the guys near us, and brought Mike Bennett along, and we ended up having a real great discussion about the young guys stepping up and taking the next step in their young careers. And, Maria, we had just started talking about how it was something we had brought up where the guys were kind of griping about The Rock and coming in and, quote-unquote, stealing their spot. And I find that kind of hilarious because Jim Ross, Vince McMahon, anybody who goes public in any kind of airwaves always says we're looking for the young guys to step up. And then I told my story where Vince actually said that John Cena came to him and asked to step up. And John was one of the guys that did that. And then you would actually had some nice things to say about John and the leadership he had taken in the company when you were there. And it was kind of just along those lines of, guys look at the top and they kind of gripe about it, but these are guys that earned their spot and worked real hard to get there. So I just wanted to know if you had any comments really about that, about John Cena or some of these guys that are on top and some of the guys complaining that they should be there too.
Oh no, I think that John is incredible. I think that, he's definitely earned a spot, and me and Mike always talk about how, like, there's no other guy that has remained on top and been the top guy as long as he has. He's been on top for 7 years, every single week, week in and week out, he's the main event. It's amazing. I think that he's one of those guys that he went in, he asked for it, and then he worked his tail off to prove it. A lot of times, the guys want to get up there. They want to be the top guys. But when they get there, they don't necessarily want what they think they wanted anymore. Because to be a top guy and to be one of those guys that works for it week in and week out, you have to not only be there for TVs and for the house shows, but then you also have to be there for the media. You have to be the one that's at home studying. You have to be the one that's watching tapes and is out there following the ratings and knowing how your segments are doing. And it's a lot of work. And then not only that, but then, you know, when you go overseas, you also have to make sure that you're up every morning, that you're going to the gym, that you're, you know, able to still function while you're over there. It's incredible how much I seen Cena work and work to be that top guy. And he's not the only one. I mean, these guys that are on top, they know their characters. They know their stuff. Like, you know, if Dolph Ziggler is asked to do an interview with whoever, he knows his character and he knows his position enough to do an interview with anybody. You know, that goes for Dolph or Punk or Randy Orton or any of these guys. They've worked to be there and they've earned their spot.
Well, there's a lot of talk about, you know, guys don't want to rock the boat and don't want to do this, they don't want to do that, but they'll be there and gripe. And Bob and I were talking before you came on about, you know, being able to walk the line as far as going to Vince and going to the people that matter and presenting them with something or saying that they don't like something. And there seems to be a lot of fear in doing that, although I always hear a lot of stories, too, about guys who did do things like that and stepped up to Vince, and as long as they carried the ball that they were presenting to Vince with some few tweaks from him, he would stand up and be behind you. Obviously, you were there for a long time. Where does the truth lie in that as far as being fearful and not rocking the boat too much, but having the ability to come up with something where he says, go for it?
I mean, I don't know if anybody's ever noticed this, but I've noticed it, that a lot of times the guys that are able to rock the boat are the ones that have been working at the same character or a similar character or just themselves for a long time, work that on the indies. So when they go out there to do their job, they know exactly what they're doing. So if they're going to rock the boat, they know they can back it up. And I think that that's where the truth lies with all of that stuff, is if you've put your work in on the indies or if you put your work in development, then when you get up there, you're able to back it up. And the last thing that Vince wants to see or what Triple H wants to see or any of those guys up there want to see is someone go out there and be like, yeah, I can do this, blah, 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 and haven't really worked at it, so they don't know if they can do it or not. You know, they're just saying it. A lot of the storylines that I was involved in, I had a ton of input. I mean, I had all the input in the world of, like, you know, I want to do this, I want to try this, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, even though it was never really wrestling that I had the input in, I had the input when it came to working with Santino, when I worked with Umaga, when I worked with Kurt Angle, when I worked with, you know, all these, when I worked with Bischoff, when, you know, I worked with all these guys, I was able to have input on what my character would be like because I was responsible for that. I was responsible for what would Dumb Maria say in every single situation. And because I was able to do that, I was given a lot more leeway.
How much do you say the Dumb Maria thing? I remember when, I think it was at Chris Masters, it was the segment where Vince was on trial or something. I forget exactly what was going on with it, but you spit out this, you know, great answer, and people were kind of blown away by it. But being as intelligent as you are and being as well-read as you are and having so many interests in other things, how difficult is it to play a character as far as, you know, guys hate it because they're not fully invested in it, and that shows, and Terry Taylor talked about that with the Red Rooster on this show, where by the time he figured it out, even though it was a crappy gimmick, he could have been doing it a lot better. When you're given something like you were given to, you know, at first to be kind of bimbo-ish, how do you take that and make that your own and continue to burn on with it without the fear, or do you just automatically have the fear that I'm going to be typecast as this for as long as I'm in this business?
Well, I think that the most important thing to do, especially when you work for a major company like WWE, or if you are working for TNA, or if you're an actor or actress in Hollywood, like, if you're given something, then that means that they're putting some faith into you. So you have got to make lemonades out of lemons sometimes, and you just have to go full force into it and figure it out. Because if you sit there and you're like, oh, poor me, I don't want to do this, blah, 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 then you're screwing yourself. Because all that time that you are saying, oh, poor me, why is this my thing, you could have been learning what your gimmick is. You could have been learning how to do it. I was given such an awesome opportunity because no matter what I did, everybody blamed it on the gimmick. Everybody said, oh, well, she's just playing a character. So I can mess up whenever I wanted to, and it was okay because I was dumb. So it was such a tremendous thing to have because I could not screw up. As long as I played with it and had fun and smiled, and there was no way I could mess it up because I was supposed to be dumb anyways. Sometimes a guy's given an opportunity and they don't really like the character. Well, I mean, I don't know necessarily if Santino wanted to be Santino Marella, but guess what? Like, he took that and he ran with it. And now I would say he is one of the most over baby faces in the entire company. Mm-hmm. He comes out, people are chanting. Like, and did he necessarily want that? I don't know, but he wants it now. Like, you're given a gift when you're given any type of character.
Now, in everything that you've learned, and obviously Bob, step in here too, coming back into Ring of Honor and seeing, and obviously, you know, being with Mike and Mike's history with Bob and everything, you know, you came in how he was looked at, and there was even pushback from people in Ring of Honor, what's that guy doing here, and he's not like one of us, and things like that. From what you've seen in Ring of Honor when it comes to guys and working out with them, how do you see the way Ring of Honor is taking and how guys are taking to their new role in Ring of Honor?
I think that Ring of Honor is in a huge transition, and that always happens when a major company comes in and now you're on national television, things are going to change. And you can feel the tension between the entertainers and the MMA guys and the wrestlers and the MMA guys. And I love it. I love every second of it. I mean, I have the easiest job in the world because all I have to do is come out, and they hate me anyways because they hate my boyfriend so much. So, like, for me, I'm just able to go out there and play. But I love working over there because the crowd is just so intense, and I feel like as I'm growing, the crowd for Ring of Honor is growing as well. People are starting to see a different side. They're able to watch the show every single week and able to learn the guys. I love the atmosphere. I've always been an admirer of a company that's kind of grassroots and then builds into this major company.
I can agree with that. I mean, it's me, Mikey, and Maria. While we are not a clique and we are friends, and we do kind of tend to gravitate towards one another in the locker room, but everybody gets along to a certain degree. But I do see that friendly competitiveness and friendly competition. I like it. I'm with Maria. You know, I'm in a position where I don't necessarily have to wrestle, so I can watch and see who wants to help the company and who wants to help themselves. And no, this is not an expose. I will not name names, but it's one of those things where you can see the tension and you can see the guys that may not fit into that package. And there's guys that the creative team has tried to work with and said, we really need you to step up and do this. And it all goes back to what we talked about before, Mike. You know, there are guys that, you know, I love him like a little brother, and you know, we're in very biased company here, but I have no problem with handing Mike Bennett a microphone and telling him to walk out there. It's funny how he's the green muscle head, but yet he does PSAs in one take and can bang off 4 minutes, and some of these guys have to do 19 takes to get out 30 seconds. I find that laughable. And isn't it funny how Dave Meltzer calls Delirious a fantastic wrestler and Jay Lethal's a fantastic wrestler. Not Delirious, excuse me. Generico, a fantastic wrestler. Jay Lethal's a great worker. And they all seem to be in matches with Mike Bennett. And Mike Bennett is the only one that seems to be the consistent person in that mix. So how is, so I think Mike Bennett has added a lot to the package. And, we need to, for Ring of Honor as a company to grow, we need to bring in more entertainers, quote-unquote entertainers, and I know what Maria's getting at. I know that's not a slam on anybody. But we need that diverse mix of people. You know, we need a Daniel Bryan, and we also need a John Cena. You know, we need both sides. So.
Well, it seems to be okay to
I think it's that way with any company.
Sure, absolutely. I agree with you.
Sizzle with the steak. And that's, you know, Mike Bennett, the pushback with Mike, and God knows we talked about it on this show, was just like, because he's not one of us, and how you guys were presented coming in, it was very easy for people to hate you, especially that for that fan base to hate you. And now with Maria part of this package, standing out a little bit when she came out before that match with Lethal with Mike and yourself, you know, there is a place for all of these things. And Maria, I do have to ask you this. You didn't have to go back to Ring of Honor, even though you're going out with Mike. You don't have to do the AfterBuzz .TV show that you do every Monday night after Raw, but yet you continue to do these things with all these things that you could be doing and spending your time. How much do you live and breathe wrestling?
You know, it's so funny because everybody likes to make comments about how I'm a diva reject and I'm, you know, whatever. I just came into the diva search, and what people don't realize and what, you know, at the end of the day, the thing that everybody should just look at is, no, I do not have to do Ring of Honor, and no, I never have to step back in the wrestling ring, and no, I don't have to do AfterBuzz TV for Monday Night Raw every single week. I don't have to do those things. I mean, it's an hour drive out of my way just to drive up to AfterBuzz. I could be doing another show. I could be doing the Borgias like I've done before. I could be doing Dancing with the Stars for AfterBuzz. I do auditions. I've got 7 films right now that I'm trying to get either funding or in pre-production. I never have to step in the wrestling ring again, but I do because I love it and because it's something that once it gets in your blood, you can't, it never leaves you. And, you know, the first year out of WWE, I was doing my music and trying that out and seeing what I liked and what I didn't like with that and trying out acting and seeing what I liked and what I didn't like. And, I could have just stayed. And, I decided that I wanted to get back into wrestling. And I mean, I love watching it every week. I love being out there with Mike. I follow it. I live and breathe it. And I think that's one thing that surprises a lot of people. And the fact that I entered myself in the Diva Search, not some agent, not a manager, not a friend of the company or any kind of crap. I entered myself online. I'm the one that put on the photos. I filled out the paperwork for it. I'm the one that went up and introduced myself to everybody there. I knew who Coach was. I called him a popcorn fart when I was in the interview with him in front of everybody else. And he laughed at me and sent me to the next round. And I knew that because I watched every week. I saw The Rock call him that. And that's why I reiterated it. And that sent me to the next round. So, I mean, I've been a wrestling fan since I was a little girl. And it just so happens that I got the greatest opportunity in the world, and that was to be on Monday Night Raw. And that'll never leave me. I'll be 50 years old, 60 years old, 70 years old, and watching it just like my grandma does when she goes crazy every time Dusty Rhodes comes out. So, like, I love the business of wrestling. I love the entertainment of wrestling. I love wrestling.
Well, did you get the evil eye from anyone that had the guts to actually look into your eyes? But, you know, help without Mike smacking them, of course. But did anyone give you a dirty look as far as coming to Ring of Honor or just like an eye roll of like, oh, God, here we go again, or anything like that when it came to going in and seeing anybody in Ring of Honor?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Can I respectfully disagree with you? I can honestly tell you that I was one of the people, or maybe the only person, that kind of had my eyes rolling when I saw Maria coming into the company. Actually, when she started dating Mike, I didn't know Maria at all, and unfortunately, I fell into that category of a preconceived notion, which I'm kind of ashamed of now because, you know, all these judgments we make about people, usually about 99.9% of them don't come to be, and that was one of the things I actually said to the young guys we talked to last week. I said, you can never judge a book by its cover. I said, I hated her when I hadn't even met her. And I said, that's completely unfair. And I said, it was nothing that she did. And then, thank God, we've had time to talk and spend some time with each other. We've become good friends. And, I'm very, very supportive of her and what she's trying to do. And, I think Maria and Mike are kind of cut out of the same mold in a way. I think they're people that had to come in with a lot of preconceived notions and change a lot of minds, and that's kind of the that's kind of the motto of the year, I think, for us as a threesome is we're trying to change a lot of minds here, all in our different ways, because they're on their way up and I'm kind of on my way down or settling into my spot. And you know, we're trying to bash everybody's preconceived notions, short circuit anybody's opinions of us, and kind of forge our own path and say we're people that decided, you know, we're not one thing, we're a bunch of different things, and we're multifaceted. And I think that's going to be the and especially in this economy, in this wrestling economy, I think that's more important than ever. Just being able to do, like Maria said, you know, being able to step up, do the media, really put a lot of time into your gimmick and your character, and really decide who you're going to be. I just, you know, going back to that, I just think in any company, not just Ring of Honor or any company in America or overseas, I think, wrestling or non-wrestling, you're just going to have to make more of an investment into what you can do the best and make that work for you. So I think I thought she was a quote-unquote ex-diva, and, you know, I'm happy to say in the public airwaves that I was very, very wrong. So I've already apologized to her, so I'm not going to do it again. But
I think this is really coming down to is, Maria, do you promise when Bob is old and decrepit to push him around the wheelchair along with you and Mike down to the beach and let him sit there for a little while? Do you promise to do that for that poor man?
With a blanket in my lap, right?
I promise to do that. I'm afraid that Mike might end up being there before you. I was trying to walk around today with him, and he was like, foot was going, something wonky was going on with his foot, and something else was happening with his back, and wrestling's
stop
no joke.
Stop feeding him all those Choco Tacos you were shoving in his face Monday night on AfterBuzz.
Oh, my gosh. They have got to stop bringing that kind of stuff to AfterBuzz, or else I'm going to have to start wearing a potato sack out to the ring.
Well, the thing about Bennett, too, is Bennett just goes out and eats whatever he wants and looks like Bennett, and I eat whatever I want, and I look like crap. So that's I try to hang with Mike, like I try to hang with Mike as a role model of what I, you know, like a great physique and that kind of stuff, and a model of physical fitness. But I can't have his diet at restaurants and such, because Mike is kind of his genetics are out of this world. So it's hard to, you know, it's hard to hang with Mike on that.
He does
so
have
Choco
incredible
tacos, probably
genetics.
He probably laughed at the Choco Tacos. So, you know. So.
It's funny because we actually have a competition, and Bob, you can get involved in this. A month from now, down in Miami, we are having an ab competition of who's got better abs. So he got a little upset because I had better abs than him. So now we've got a competition.
I don't mind finishing in third place in that group. And then, plus, that'll be the only ab competition I'll finish in third place. So finishing last, you feel great about it.
Well, so you got one ab. It's a big solid ab, but you know, hey.
You know, I'm working on it. That's all I can say.
You are working on it. You're working hard.
I know. That's the scary. I was actually telling him without divulging any important information, but that I'm actually going to sit down with some ROH officials and actually talk about what we talked about, just trying to, you know, do whatever I can to help the company grow and help them out in this transition period.
Well, great asset to the company. So
yeah, she finally got to see me wrestle and didn't run screaming out of the room, so I was happy about that.
No,
so.
It was amazing. Amazing.
Well, people realize that too in the last couple of years too, that the strides that you have made, you know, physically, wrestling wise, and the whole nine yards, and you know, the combination of the three of you is just fantastic right now, especially because there's nothing I like more than seeing an angry ROH fan pay money to boo people. I love that.
Come on. The best part of the New York thing was Maria gets a standing ovation like the president coming back into town, and I counted nine ticks off the clock before she had people throwing cups of ice at the back of her head. So I thought that was pretty good. and I said something. I'll clean it up. I'll clean it up for radio. But I said, I've never seen anyone go from zero to you know what in 9 seconds for a girl. That's pretty good. So
it was insane.
It was pretty good.
Going from that, I don't want to take this on any sort of K-fabulous turn or anything, but you know, I had a chance to see the February 11th Ring of Honor show, and I do have to wonder about one thing, because as you know, Bob, I've always been a big Mike Bennett fan.
Sure.
I'm starting to wonder here a little bit. I mean, you know, you're saying, you know, go for it, and you drag the referee away, and then Maria gets up and ends up knocking Mike into Jay, which looked good, except for the fact that he got crucifixed and pinned, and I'm starting to feel a little bit nervous here. I mean, that TV title should have been his the day he walked into the company, and he's had a lot of problems here. I haven't liked this whole thing with Generico. I'm not liking it with Jay Lethal. There's not any dissension going on here, is there?
Well, no. What happened was the plan was perfectly in place. What happened was Maria was actually doing her strength training, and she over pushed Mike is what happened because she's so strong
okay.
now, and she shoved him too hard. So the momentum took him and threw him over, and Jay Lethal, because Jay Lethal's not smart enough to do that on his own. So he tripped over his own two left feet again. Jay Lethal and you know found a four leaf clover and found a two headed coin at the same time and managed to pin Mike again. So but lightning struck three times that day. So you know it won't happen again. Let me put it that way. So I think Mike Bennett should have the TV title. I think he should have all the titles. Davey Richards has been running for him for 18 months. I mean you know that's the only exercise I ever see Davey Richards do. So, you know, these guys, you know, Kevin Steen will be able to catch him because he'll just stand in the doorway and you won't be able to fit through it. So, but, yeah, I think that Mike Bennett is destined for gold in Ring of Honor. If he ever wants to take a tag team partner up, I'll stand by his side anytime. So, and if I'm not good enough, we'll find somebody for him. So, but that's...
Perfect. You're more than good enough.
Yes, but perfect. Maria, are you perfect? Because being the manager with benefits that you are, I saw that PSA, and I'm thinking, God, why would Mike Bennett be put in a position where he would not know his opponent? Then they name his opponent, and you're sending him in to face Homicide in the Hammerstein Ballroom on a Sunday where you know how people are in New York after the weekend. They're coming off their benders. They're very angry. They threw cups of ice at you, Maria. I have a little bit of reservation about you putting him in this position.
Well, you know, I think that Mike can handle whatever's thrown in front of him. So I'm not too concerned about him. And if they get a little too rowdy out there, I will definitely make my way to the back and not let them see my beautiful body.
There you go. And I'll do the same thing. it's a mutual decision. Look, we need to. This is part of. See, we've been talking about the plan. Maria, Mike, and I. We won't divulge the plan here. But I'll tell you, if we were going to divulge the plan, we would divulge it here, but we're not going to. But part of the plan, I can tell you without giving away anything, is to create more challenges for the new year. And we've already done it to a certain extent, but now we're really going to do it. We're going to go into Homicide's hometown, and we're going to go right into the middle of it, right into the middle of Yankee country, wearing our Red Sox gear and being Boston proud. And we're going to, you know, we're just going to beat him in his own hometown. And again... It's just one of those things where it's just going to make everybody angry again. And we love to tweet the Ring of Honor fans. We love those trolls. Bring those trolls. Bring them on.
I think it's so funny, too. I think it's very funny that these guys are coming in and they're doing one or two shows and they're constantly working with Mike. And I think that's just because, you know, Mike is the only guy that they see as a competition. And these guys coming in like Lance. I mean, I don't think that he would have wanted to work with anyone else because no one else would have been a challenge. Mike's the only challenge there.
Right. Lance Storm wants to work with one of the guys. He wants to wrestle with one of the guys that's the best in the business, and a guy he could see maybe stepping up and being a bigger star than he is already. And Lance Storm saw that. He was given a list of competitors in Ring of Honor and picked Mike Bennett off the list. So that's Lance Storm's responsibility. You want to yell at Jim Cornette and Delirious? Go right ahead. But Lance Storm made that match.
Well, you know, I'm glad that Mike's lack of kick pads has not hurt him in his ROH career.
We're gonna get punch pads. We're gonna have boxing gloves on. And his right hand is known to cause concussions. And actually, Cornette is actually thinking of fining him $10,000 every time he punches somebody, like the chair shots to the head, because it's the same impact. We actually did an impact test, and I don't mean we sat down and watched impact. I would never. That's not a test. That's more of torture. But we had an impact test where we had Mike punch Grizzly Redwood in the head. And then we woke him up and we hit him with a chair. And Grizzly Redwood said, "Can you hit me with a chair again? Because I can't take the punch." So.
Good.
What do you mean good? That's not nice.
Well, no,
we had to do it.
Well, exactly. I mean, I'm glad that, again, see, there are all these talk about chair shots and Ring of Honor. And, again, you know, what's really important, Mike Bennett, who, again, coming up this Sunday. And, by the way, $9.99. Why are you just giving this away? $9.99 for this pay-per-view.
Well, we told everybody that if Mike Bennett doesn't win, you're going to refund everybody's money, Mike. That's what we said.
Well, you know, that's a producer-rich state right now is actually counting his bills. But you know what? I don't think we have to be worried about that at all. But actually, speaking of kick pads and things, Maria, I know you did a little bit of MMA announcing when you were when HDNet. I believe it was on HDNet. This weekend, Ronda Rousey and Misha Tate are fighting. Probably the biggest women's fight since Cyborg and Gina Carano. Any interest at all when it comes to that fight or an MMA in general still?
You know, for me, MMA was kind of a passing interest. I'm friends with Eve Torres, and she was dating one of the Gracies. And so, you know, with me and her, she's kind of the one that got me into it. And now that I'm no longer with WWE and not around Eve as much, it's really not for me. I don't really find it that exciting or intriguing to watch. I'm sure if there's a big fight, you know, if someone asks me to go and watch, I will, but I don't follow it. I like wrestling.
Oh, good. Well, see, good, because in that case, you can continue on with this, and hopefully all three of you will be in the main events of ROH shows very soon, so I stop having to see so much MMA in my pro wrestling.
Well, now, what do you – now, Mike, I know you – and one of the things I always compliment you on, and it's not because we're on this, is you actually have quite a bit of – I actually asked – Maria, I've actually texted Mike in the past and asked him if he's wrestled in the past, because – he really does have our mindset down. I don't know if it's just because you're such a student of the game or if you're somebody who just follows it or talks to a lot of wrestlers. I'm not really sure, but you really do seem to have that mindset down. I mean, how do you feel about the transitions that are going on at Ring of Honor? I know sometimes you try to get the ball rolling with Brian Alvarez, and then he talks about his cats for 10 minutes, so he's too busy talking about that or his wife that could beat him up every day of the week. Probably beat me up, too, so I shouldn't talk too bad about her. But what's how do you feel about it? Where do you think Ring of Honor is going? And give me your honest opinion. I mean, you know, we're not shills for Ring of Honor or anybody else, so we're shills for the Team Prodigy. That's it. But what do you think?
I talked about it with you a little bit after Final Battle, where it was, in a way, it was almost could have been called ROH Identity Crisis, and a lot of
right.
it, to me, at least had to do with where matches were placed and how to, and obviously guys not being able to read the crowd, and instead of, again, no offense, but instead of having a 40-minute main event, why don't you just kick ass for 20 minutes? You've already lost a lot of this crowd as it is. I didn't like the placement of, you know, the gauntlet. I'm not a big gauntlet guy anyway. If you're going to do one,
right.
start the show with it. Don't come back from intermission with it. There was things like that that I think need to be worked out. There's production issues which drive me nuts. And I'm not saying this too. I know it gets saddled and I've gotten emails about where you're a Dave Lagana sock up. And that's not true.
Right.
You can't. He's very good. He worked for WWE for a long time. He's done a lot of things for a long time. If he was not comfortable or truly comfortable with using instant replay, maybe a guy who hasn't been there a long time and is not used to it, doing it for a live eye pay-per-view, maybe you shouldn't have did that. But that's, again, those parts don't matter, but they do. There are guys that need to. If you kick a guy, and I know Les gets beat up for this because he says it, but it's true. You know, if it was coming out of somebody else's mouth in a nicer way, people would get it. If you kick a guy 75 times, why did the 76th one knock him down? Unless this is like a Japanese wrestling match where things are building to a certain point. So, I like sizzle with my steak. I grew up in the 80s. I was a fan of seeing guys who could work as well as talk and carry a whole package. And that's, they do need more of that in Ring of Honor. You need Mike Bennett. You need people like that. But you also need characters like Bob Evans, who I'd like to see wrestle. I'm not just saying that, but the Bob Evans, the Prince Nanas, the... the goofy band leader from Chikara who just slays me, you know, Archibald
Robert,
Peck.
Robert Evans, a.k.a. Archibald
yes.
Peck. Sure.
Yes, the Reverend himself, R.D. Evans. I mean, guys like that, so you need a little bit of everything there where people look at it as, oh, God, you know, there's this person's there, that person's there, and this isn't my ROH. you're right, it's not your ROH, it's everybody's, and it's this company trying to build and grow. And being somebody from the Baltimore area, I'm glad those fans are coming out and supporting it or being rowdy about it, because it comes across a lot better on TV. You know, it just, they've done a good job, and there's obviously the Briscoes are good, the World's Greatest Dad. There are guys who are very good in what they do, and I hope other younger guys there don't just pay lip service to Maria and to you when you talk about your experiences, and they actually aren't just listening and then going out to do what they want to do or get caught up doing what they want to do, that they're actually listening and building upon that. You know, it's not – with Sinclair Baldish, it's not that it's not a race, but it's a longer race than people think. You don't have to rush and get things out, and that's where some of the slowdown is, and that's why I think the ROH TV show to me is as close as you can get to that TV show in the 80s. The way it's segmented, the way it's produced, there's the fact that you have the matches on there that you do, building up to a point at the end of the night. I like all that stuff a lot. So there was my long-winded way to say it.
Well, Maria can add to this, because this is actually something that you and I were talking about, the guys being on top, and why I had such fond feelings for Triple H, and that's not because he grew up 90 miles from me. The deal was that I got to listen to Mike Mondo talk about wrestling Triple H and Shawn Michaels every night, and held him in the highest regard, and talked about how much he taught him and how much he...
Hello?
Up? Maria?
Hello?
Oh, you're still there.
I'm here. I don't know
I was hit by a bolt of lightning. Poor Bob.
Bob has disappeared.
This gives more meaning to the...
I don't know what happened. I'll plug him back in as soon as he calls back in.
More meaning to the hashtag,
you know,
why not Bob? Like,
why not Bob? Bob got struck by lightning.
Well, Marie, you kind of want to build on what he was talking about?
Sure, but I'll do it in a different way. I think that anybody who wants to become the greatest there is out there in professional wrestling, that is within the WWE, TNA, ROH, independence, whatever it is, you have to look at the guys who've actually done it and been to the top, and what do they have? And if you start going down the list of Hulk Hogan and The Rock and so-called Steve Austin and the John Cenas and the Roddy Pipers and the, you know, if you continue going down the list, you will find that the common denominator with all of them is they know how to talk, they know how to work, and they have a look. Do they have to be the hottest people on the planet? No, but they have to have a look. And so anybody that wants to make any money in this business, or anybody that wants a fan base, whether they love them or they hate them, they've got to look at the guys that have done it before and say what has worked and what hasn't.
Well, it may kind of sound like an odd question, but what have you been able to, you know, I'm going to try to safely put this, what have you taught Mike? What have you, your experiences taught to Mike? What are some of the things that you can pass along to him to refine himself?
I don't know. You can ask him. He's right here.
Oh. And apparently I think we got Bob back on too, so he's back from the dead here.
Oh, fantastic. You know what? I think that all Mike really needs to hear is that he can do whatever he wants to do. He already has it all within him. He already has the heart and the soul of a wrestler, of a superstar, of an entertainer. It's all within him. And so the only thing that Mike ever needs to be told is it's okay to dream and it's okay to believe, because he's already got the tools. And I already see in his eyes that fire that not a lot of other people that say they want to be a professional wrestler have.
Well put, well put.
Marie, we don't want to hold you on all night, and I want to really thank you very much for joining us tonight here. And, you know, Bob always speaks to you in glowing terms. I'm just stunned that he tried to bury you in the way that he did in his own mind.
It's true, though.
This Sunday, March 4th, $9.99. Again, they're bargaining at $14.99, let alone $9.99, coming up from the Hammerstein Ballroom, Ring of Honor. And again, catch Maria every Monday, 11 o'clock on AfterBuzz.tv. And Maria, thank you very much for coming on here.
Thank you so much.
I'll see you this
weekend.
We'll
be right back on Ringside Wrap.
Let me drive.
How do you know when it's time to give up the keys? When your dog grabs your keys from your lap and your lap is on the floor. Yep, it's Jeff Foxworthy for Rad saying, when you party, be sure to designate before you celebrate. If you want to make it home
alive, let me drive. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Please don't drink and drive. It's not fun.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Solie? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who wasn't under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
You want to know which teacher your kids are most likely to choose as a role model this year in school? I'm Donnie Osman, and it's the person who teaches them about music. Not sports or English or history. Music. Are you surprised? Well, you shouldn't be, because music teachers have always played an important role in the lives of their students. They help our kids tap into their natural creativity. They teach them about cooperation and self-discipline. It's a bonus that when kids have learned about scales and clefs, they find math and English concepts easier to grasp. That's because of how music education expands a young person's spatial IQ. Reading poetry or solving an equation is easier if kids know their sharps and flats, and that's a fact. Help your kids get to know their music teacher at school. Get them involved in music this year.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
The odds of becoming a signed artist and having 3 number one albums? 1 in 100 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of this performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at AutismSpeaks.org. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back here on Ringside Wrap. Mike Timberlevy joined by Brutal Bob Evans and Bob. Do you think she likes me?
I was short-circuited. What happened?
Again?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm back.
Oh.
All of a sudden, I was talking to a dial tone. I said, well, that's it. I've officially bored everybody, and they've all hung up on me. So.
Well, that's... Well, I say, you know, I'm not butchering that opening joke I had leading in for, but usually when I talk to women that attractive, who of course aren't my wife, I'm usually saying in the morning, just take the money, it's on the nightstand.
Well, the funniest thing is too, it's like when she started dating Mike and I met her, she wasn't all gussied up, and of course she's still extremely attractive, but like once you're over the whole ex-WWE blah blah blah, and you just have to get to know her as a person, she kind of looks weird all dressed up for TV, you know. So it's like it's very strange. It's kind of like the reverse, you know. Like you see her as like a regular person, and now it's she's all dressed up. It's almost like, what are you all dressed up to be? Oh yeah, that's right, you're on the show, you know. So it's kind of it's kind of a funky thing. I know it's but no, she is human sunshine. She is a wonderful person, and I'm so glad, you know. Mike is too, so I'm very happy for both of them. And she is a very driven, very very nice, but a very driven and direct person, and a good businesswoman. And he needed that. So, because as multi-talented as the man is, I think sometimes he gets, like we all do, we get a little bit of that procrastination bug. And, you know, the wrestling business, like any other business, is a tough business. It's show business. It's tough to crack into. So I think the self-confidence thing comes into play. I know it does with me. So it's good that he has someone there as a strong show support. She's been very supportive of me too. So, I mean, it's another person to have fighting on my side, and people like that on your side are always good to have. So
there was no professional like thought that you were going to get, like, you know, Yoko'd in this deal, were you?
No, there was never. No, I've actually had a couple of local websites say that I've given my notice and I've gotten fired and all this other
really?
Stuff. Oh, really? So if I can, this was like 3 or 4 months ago. So I'm finishing up at Final Battle, and now that Maria's in here, and I was like, I don't think that was ever the deal. So it's I think I'm there because you know, I have a value, and also you know, I'm not really. I've been on my best behavior, you know, which hasn't always been the case, but I've been, you know, I've been behaving myself, trying to help out the company as best I can. So, but yeah, are you actually going to try to make TV this week, or are you going to bail on me like you always do? Somebody's got to buy me dinner.
And believe me, I can take you to some spots in Baltimore that. Well, no, you are a married man. I can't do that.
Well, plus, I don't. Yeah, well, you know, but the buffet is tremendous. You and I don't drink, so you can't bring me any stuff from work, any free samples or anything. So that doesn't do it. So we'll have to find a way where we can actually meet face to face, and I can shake your hand. So that would be great. I would like to meet up with you one of these times. So.
Traveling on the way up there, since the Briscoes will already be up there, I can maybe stop by their farm and get some chickens for you, because God knows, who doesn't need more protein, and they have too many chickens.
Well, I've told you this story. I've known the Briscoes since they were little 16-year-old kids, so if anyone's not too many bigger fans of the Briscoes than me, so those guys have gone through a lot of stuff, and they have a very supportive family, and that, you know, you get to see Papa Briscoe on Saturday if you go.
Oh, my.
You didn't hear?
Oh, no. How have I missed this?
Well, I hope it's been announced. I hope I'm not giving anything out of school, but I think it has. So, but, yeah, it's actually Papa Briscoe and a six-man with the Briscoes against the House of Truth and one Mr. Truth Martini.
I feel sorry for Truth Martini. He's going to get hurt.
You know, that's, and I keep Truth Martini is another guy that I think we should try to have on. And I will speak in my very small percentage in this company as the fifth Beatle, but I think you should have Truth on. Tremendous wrestling mind. And then Mondo you should have on just for his transformation. He's kind of in the same boat as Maria. He was in there for a long time, did a lot of work, and then all of a sudden was out, and then had to kind of reinvent himself, you know? So.
And another guy who didn't leave, too. I mean, there are so many guys, and for different reasons, too, and I can understand getting burned out and put down and all these things. And,
absolutely.
You know, Mike, it was for him. It's not personality. It's not anything other than, to me, than size. You know, and that's what. But he's continuing on. He still loves it. He's still going and worked himself into a spot in Ring of Honor.
Well, and he's awesome too. And he's exactly what we need. We need another guy who can. And I mean, he's a young fella too. I mean, I put myself in this category, or other people do too, as kind of this quote unquote veteran guy that's going to give back to the young guys, which I love. That's my spot. But that's his spot too. In a way, I still think Mike Mondo could be a champion, could be all those things. I certainly believe that. But as far as carrying people, I guess the Kevin Kelly did the voiceovers for the Cincinnati matches they had a couple weeks ago. And I guess Mike wrestled a pretty inexperienced kid who was actually very good. I saw him at the tryout camp, big guy, Samson. And I guess Mike just danced this guy through just an excellent match. And knew exactly what to do and timing, and didn't do too much, but did enough. And, you know, just whatever the finish was, that was on target. And just everything was just excellent. And Kevin couldn't stop talking about how good the match was. So, and no kick pads were worn in the filming of this match. So I shouldn't sound so negative, because there are actually quite a few friends of mine. Matt Taven is actually who teamed with Mondo this past week on TV. They've had some issues. Matt Taven is someone I think super highly of, and he wears kick pads, and I always scream at him about it. But that's someone I actually had a hand in kind of developing him and training him and stuff. So Matt was one of the guys that actually was 2 years in the business, and I had wrestled him one time. And then I said, hey, wrestle me for an hour. And he's like, okay. Anyone who just says okay, you love him right there. So.
And you got a hell of a weekend coming up here. You know, did talk about the Sunday show on the 4th. But again, yeah, talk about the TV taping in Baltimore. And this is the third or fourth one? I don't even know how many.
January, February,
now,
it's the third one. And I think they're doing one in April, too. So, yeah.
How are they treating you, between January and February? You know, because the crowd, you know, still sounds good. And, you know, apparently was about the same size and everything. And you're carving out in Michigan. A lot of people don't realize, too, Baltimore was not a traditional Ring of Honor stop. It's always been a great wrestling town.
Right.
We get Philadelphia feel and DC feel and things like that, but it was never really a Baltimore hangout, and especially the Drew Burns Arena where that's at, and the fan base that I see coming there were not what you would consider traditional Ring of Honor fans. How have they been treating you, and how's just that overall scene been?
Well, that's one of the things that we're excited about, is that we're bringing out different fans that may not know all the characters or all the personalities. And that's a challenge for the guys, because the guys have to tell that story in the ring, because you can't walk out if you walk out in Philly or you walk out in New York, everybody knows who you are if you've been in Ring of Honor for a certain amount of time. The difference between me being there in last year, talking 2010 Final Battle, when nobody knew who we were, and then 3 months or 3 to 6 months later when we had been wrestling on the shows, it was night and day. Everybody knew who we were. So I mean, but if you walk into a situation where maybe 40 or 50% of the fans know you and the rest don't, I like that environment. I do well in that environment, because that's the environment in wrestling that I was raised in, where you wrestle to the mainstream. You don't wrestle to the hardcores. So I think it's exciting. I think it's a challenge that I hope the young guy, everybody's a young guy, right? But all the guys who are used to working one style, I hope they kind of take that and run with it and say, all right, well, now we have to kind of tweak things and mix things up and do something a little more for a mainstream audience. Doesn't mean stand there and do a test of strength for 17 minutes. It just means we mix it up a little bit. And, you know, with a new, fresh crowd, we don't necessarily have to go out of our way to overly impress them every time. And maybe we can ratchet it back a little bit and kind of reinvent and reset, hit the reset button. So, but we love the building. It's easy to, first of all, it's easy to get to, which is great. Good parking, good access, good fans. Responsive too, as far as I know, Jim Cornette's done, and some of the guys, I know Lethal has, Bennett has, Maria, some late radio stuff the day before, the day of the event, and people respond to that as well. Our walk-up crowds have been excellent. So we've been getting a pretty good advance and a pretty good walk-up, too, where people are like, hey, let's check out these matches. Let's give these guys a chance. And then I know we had a lot of repeat people come come to the February one because I had some people stop me and say, hey, yeah, we had such a great time last time. We're going to be here now. And I said, well, make sure you're, you know, and I always try to, even though I'm a evildoer in the ring, I always try to thank them and appreciate them. I don't think people hear that enough generally in life anyway. But I think, we really appreciate you being here at our level. I think, well, at any level we should, but at our level especially, we should be thanking everybody for coming and inviting them to come next time. And, you know, it's just that little extra personal touch that sometimes the big guys can't do. So, and then I found that that's really helping, and it's really helping to build a little bit of a groundswell. You know, granted, I still think we need to get out there in the communities and promote a little bit more. But I think that's with anything. I think WWE would tell you that. So I don't think that's anything. You know, you can always do a little bit more. You know, at my Punch gym, the gym I go to, where we do a lot of athletic training, I'm actually being trained by one of the New England Patriots, former New England Patriots. His name is Kerry Taylor. He's out of Springfield, Mass. Not Terry Taylor, Kerry Taylor with a K. And his motto is, be 1% better than you were yesterday. And I think that's all we have to do. All we have to do is just get incrementally better every single day at what we do. And I know it sounds all hokey and motivational, but really that's all you have to do. If we can reach out to 50 people, and then we can reach out to 51 and 52 and just keep increasing it, by the end of the year we've reached out to 400 or 500 people. And now now that spreads. And if one guy does that, then the next guy does it. That's all it takes. You know, Ring of Honor wasn't popular the first day they walked out of in 2002. They grew, and they grew with a lot less publicity than we have now. So I think it's going to be easier. And plus, I think we have guys that reach to the mainstream. You know, whatever you want to say about Mike Bennett or Tommaso Ciampa or Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin. Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin walk into a room. First of all, they're deceptively big. On TV, they look like they're 5'8". They're as tall as I am. They're 6'2", 6'3". They're big guys. You know, Mike Bennett's a big guy. He's 6'1". You know, you walk in and you see these guys, and they look like men. They look like wrestlers. I'm not saying the other guys don't, but the physical impression they make on people when they walk through the door or they see them on TV, I think, is very important. So we need that as well. And I'm a work guy first. I'm one of those guys that the wrestling comes first with me, but I'm also growing to appreciate the cosmetic part of the business. I'm not saying we should all go Hollywood, but, you know, there is a cosmetic side to the business, and we have to... You know, we have to address that. So I think a balance has to be struck, and I think we're doing that. I still think we can reach more into the mainstream, but Baltimore has shown us that when we do, they're very receptive. I mean, the Jay Lethal-Davey Richards match was an excellent match anyway. It would have been an excellent match in an empty arena. But once you have a hot crowd that wants to see Jay Lethal win the belt, that's the dynamic we need. It doesn't mean everybody hated Davey. It just means that they were pulling for Jay more.
Well, and that's, you know, having, if you look at the flyer, the poster that's out for the Baltimore show, you know, they have Lethal on there, I mean, Maria's on there, and it's like, you know what, if Maria brings in five people who are going to pay their money, and they go, if three of those people go, I liked what I saw, I want to come back, you got three more. You know, it's whatever brings the eyeballs, as long as you're not putting yourself in a situation to bury yourself or, you know, like the old WrestleMania one thing with Mr. T coming in, you can't, you know, overstep the workers and the work that's being done and the improvements that you're making. But if anything gets a couple eyeballs on you, good. Good for it.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's been shown with Charlie and Shelton. Not necessarily that they have dynamic personalities behind the scenes. They're great guys, intense guys. Great at their craft. Are they the two most charismatic people on the planet? No. But they don't have to be. Their job there is to hand down, hand back, pay it forward, however you want to say it. Those guys have to teach our young tag teams how to be experienced tag teams. I can tell you that the Briscoes have improved. I can tell you that All Night Express has improved. Just wrestling those guys. I mean, you're going to, you know, one of the young trainers that I'm helping to mentor at the building we were at when Maria, Mike, and I spoke last week, he has a great saying. He says, make sure that every wrestling show you're on, you're the worst guy on the show, because that way you're guaranteed to wrestle someone better than you. And I don't, again, it's another thing about stepping up on our level, where I don't think the indie guys step up enough. And then when Mike Bennett makes it, they call him every name in the book, and they don't realize that he worked his behind off for it. And I know because I was there helping him with it. So, and this is a kid who went to OVW, who called WWE once a week asking them if they had anything, who went down to TNA, who I was standing there when he called me and said, Billy Gunn stood right up to Vince Russo and said that if you don't give this kid a job, you're crazy, and he didn't get a job. So what does that tell you? I mean, you know, this is the same kid who my back blew out and Mike Bennett carried me to an hour match without calling anything. You know, and this is somebody who did it at 24, not 36. So this is somebody who I was laughing at when they weren't looking at him. So finally, when Jim Cornette appreciated him, by the way, Jim Cornette watched him for 2 seconds and said, this kid's great, and finally got behind him. All you need is that one champion. All you need is somebody to pick your number and say, this is the guy. And for people, and I'm not saying it's too many people in our locker room, because Mike has changed a lot of minds, but I know there's still a lot of fans that think that way. And my whole thing is it's going to turn. It's already turning, where there's going to be a deep appreciation for what Mike Bennett has brought to Ring of Honor.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, how, like, carrying yourself like a star, and that's something that he does, that Lethal does, that Haas and Benjamin do. And it's not an insult to anybody else, but they carry themselves in a certain way. And, you know, one day, this is Ronda Rousey. I brought that Rousey tape fight.
Yeah.
That's coming up.
A lot of jibber-jabber with that, huh?
Well, that's it. Yeah, I had to throw it out there because Ronda Rousey, this is the deal with Ronda Rousey, for those who don't know or have heard me gush about her, she's very pretty. You know, her mother was a judo, I believe it was, I don't know if it was gold medalist, I don't know if it was about women's judo, but I mean, was a worldwide name when it came to judo as far as American women. I mean, she was incredible. She grew up and she ended up having to be with good genetics. She's a beautiful girl. She's got incredible judo skills. She's got a tagline. She's only had 7 fights, I think only 4 professional fights, had a couple of amateur MMA fights, but she's got a gimmick. And this is where pro wrestling fans that hate MMA and MMA fans hate pro wrestling and boxing and all that. Look, these sports are all retarded cousins. It is half-naked people getting sweaty and busy on a canvas mat. At the end of the day, that's all it is. So at the time, you see, Ronda Rousey, she takes people's arms home. That's what she does. She's got an arm bar that she has won every single fight with. Not only does she have that arm bar that she wins every single fight with, she does it in a minute. How do we know that she does it in a minute? Because Judo Jean LaBelle is standing behind her with a stopwatch timing it.
Yep.
There are just some people that are that have natural gifts and have done their jobs to glam up their what gifts they have and quietly bury what they're not good at and continue to work at it. And again, not to gush over Mike, Mike's that way. Again, because it's not like people see Mike Bennett and hated him so much that they turned off their TVs. They want to come boo him. Oh, I'm not suggesting throw anything at him, but it's happened. They get driven so nuts, and it's like, gee, I wonder if anybody realizes they're getting worked into hating Mike Bennett. You know? Yeah, I mean, that's when, and we're going to talk about old school after the break we have coming up here, but it's like the NWO when they came in, and I got sucked into it for a minute, being a longtime Horseman fan. Jesus Christ. And then it was like, oh, man, they got me. And you got so sucked into it, they got you. And it happens all the time, but it's just, I don't know. I'm going to go to a break here. I collect my thoughts here. And you know what? While I'm on the break, too, I'll try to remember that joke I had to play off the fact that Nigel said he was having shades of Barbarella when he saw Maria come into the ring. I know I had a Duran Duran joke somewhere, but we'll be right back on Ringside Wrap.
Georgia wrestling fans, you're going to want to make your plans to be at Johnny G's the first, third, and fifth Sunday of every month, 2 p.m. bell time, for Rampage Pro Wrestling television taping. And fans, if you're in Middle Georgia, make sure that you watch Rampage Pro Wrestling on Fox 24, Saturday 9 a.m. on the My 41.2, Saturday at 10 p.m. Cox Communications Cable, Thursday 8, Saturday at noon, and of course, Rampage Rewind, the one-half-hour show on Cox Communications throughout the schedule. Fans, be there.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Solie? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? What happened in Columbus on my birthday?
Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
This is Miss Rachel from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Champions of Wrestling. Every Friday night, The Empire presents the best in professional wrestling
at the Academy Theater in Avondale State.
We're also at the Masquerade every month or so.
Check us out on Facebook. Just look for Platinum Championship Wrestling.
And you'll get the latest details on all the hottest action from The Empire,
formerly known as Platinum Championship Wrestling.
We get it. That's every Friday night at the Academy Theater and at the Masquerade as well every month. We'll see you there.
All right, we're back here on Ringside Rap. Mike Sempervivi, along with Brutal Bob Evans. And see, this is another way that pro wrestling has taught me everything. Every time I now hear AC/DC's Back in Black, I think of Chris Candido strutting. I am completely infected by professional wrestling. And one of the reasons for that, of course, we've gotten to the old school part of the show. One of the reasons for that is because, well, I have been infected by professional wrestling my whole life. Well, you know, we're about the same age, and, you know, we were both in a lot of ways products of the 80s. We talked about, you talked about earlier on how, you know, it was Vince had a chance to cherry pick, and he had a chance to take all, have that all-star team and pluck guys who were the tops in their area and bring them in where it was so incredible. And I know everyone, whatever era you grew up with, that's the best pro wrestling in the world, and I can see how people make the claims for the '70s and the '60s and the '50s, depending on where they were, but it's always hard for me to not say it was the '80s because it was all of these things coming to fruition, and we got to see all of these guys where, God, there were job guys who had had how many years of experience, or who, you know, main evented in different territories, who were opening the show on WWF cards. When it comes to you being, again, around the same age and being a product of that era, do you consider that the greatest era ever, or was it sometime before, or was it even after?
As a fan, I think whatever you grow up with is the greatest era. Whatever you it's funny today because as we're going live, and maybe people listen to this as a podcast too, but we had to deal with the sad news of Davy Jones passing. And I used to watch that show, I was talking about it, on the old Channel 56 out of Boston, the UHF station. They used to put it on in the summertime, you know, for the summer vacation. They used to put it on in the afternoon. And I remember that when I was a kid watching that and thinking that was the greatest thing in the world. So it's like a piece of my childhood being taken away. So I think whatever you're part of as a kid, getting into wrestling and really following it. And I was somebody that just fell into wrestling and loved it. I got into it a little bit later. I got into it when I was like 11 or 12. I know some people got into it when they were like 5 or 6, or even younger, some people. And no one in my family watched it.
Well, fine. You had parents that actually cared for you. I was that brother TV 3.
My dad, who is actually one of my biggest supporters now, you know, still doesn't really follow it, but he's my, you know, one of my personal supporters of that. He tried to discourage me from it a long time ago, and knew it wasn't going to work, so he stopped. But I think it's whatever you grow up with. And as a wrestler, I can't imagine anybody not saying the 60s into the 70s and then maybe the early 80s, because you know, you were, everybody was making, not everybody obviously, but quite a few guys were making good money. You had plenty of places to work. I think Les just talked about it last week on one of the shows he does. He was talking about, hey, if I didn't want to do this, I could just pick up the phone and call 20 other promoters. And what are you going to do now? You know, and I think that falls back into what we were saying before, where you're making a nice living, shut up and just do what you're told. And, you know, back then I think you had a lot more leeway, a lot more flexibility, a lot more ability to speak up and be, not necessarily be a rebel. I think that's too strong. But you could, if you disagreed with someone, you could move on. And it was a way to stay friends, because I think a lot of times these guys hang around for too long and all of a sudden it blows up. It's like a Matt Hardy thing where you're dissatisfied for a long time and you're kind of, you end up being toxic. You end up being a toxic part of the promotion rather than, you know, accepting what your position is because you think you can do more. And I understand that. You know, that's frustrating in every walk of life. But, you know, I think going back to the old school thing, I just think that it's whatever you grew up with. In my opinion, the 80s and with Patterson booking the WWF, I you know, the stuff makes so much sense, especially holding it up now to what we look at every week now. And you know, it's funny. We have better lights, better production, better athletes, better nutrition, better coverage, better media, better health benefits for the guys, better money, and the wrestling isn't as good, the people aren't as invested, and I find that kind of funny, because you'd think it would be the other way around. You think people would still be really invested with it. I think we exposed the business, yeah, but we didn't expose everything. I mean, you know that. There's secrets that you know that you haven't, secrets of wrestling, you know, there's plenty of stuff that we still haven't told anybody, because you have to live wrestling to know it. It's not even anything. I could tell you it, but it wouldn't mean anything to you. You know, you have to, I think, we still have plenty of secrets in the bag that we can keep to make. I mean, look at The Rock and Cena. Look how many people were convinced by that. Look at the CM Punk thing over the summer. Look how many people were convinced by that. And Meltzer and Alvarez talked about it, and they kind of poo-pooed, well, it was only a 15% increase. And I was like, okay, well, name all the shows that have been increased since then. Name all the shows that were increased in the past. Why are we poo-pooing a 15% increase? 15 now, but if Punk, look, and I'm not CM Punk's greatest fan. I don't hate him or anything. He's just not my bag. He's not necessarily my bag and what I'm into for the most part, but I still have a deep appreciation for what he can do and what he does every week. So let's run with him. Let's run with the hot hand. You know, I don't care if all the boys like him. I don't care if he's not exactly my style and what I like to do in the ring. Let's run with him. Let's see what happens. You know, and then they bring him back after a week. He was this big rebel who was running around with a belt and saying he's going to defend it at Ring of Honor and going and challenging Triple H, and all of a sudden he's back on TV in a week. You know, it just didn't make any sense to me. They should have had Vince say, come back, and he should have said, no, I'm not coming back. That's what he should have said.
Well, yeah, that's the problem with not having – boy, and hey, look, I'm not running a corporation like that, but that's the problem with having – soap opera writers and not your Pat Pattersons, not your, I don't lie, if I don't say it, let's get Leo Garibaldi, which is a name that he and Kevin Sullivan always bring up, Kevin Sullivan, you know, guys like that where we lose the plot when it comes to wrestling so much. I mean, why should anyone watch the Rousey-Kate fight on Showtime on Saturday? Because you have a girl who does not have that much experience against a girl, Misha Tate, who it's like, well, she didn't have Carano to face, she didn't have Conan to face, she didn't have this person or that person. They're pretty, okay, yeah, that's good, but that's not exactly the selling point of why I'm going to invest all that time. I see pretty people all the time every day. I have a magazine here with Maria on it, for God's sakes, where I can see everything I want. but it's the talk. If they talk them to, they're talking you into the, they're talking you out of your money, your time, they're talking you in. And there's a place for that style of promotion. It's where wrestling loses the plot and why MMA and MMA fans hate it. And I do understand why it's always linked to wrestling, because it's not exactly, it's boxing, it's wrestling, it's promotion. And that's the biggest thing, and that's what we're missing out of with getting people and creating situations and stories that get people to separate from their money, which goes back to the thing I said earlier on tonight where, man, I don't want to see wrestling become just a touring thing. And Alex Marvez, and God, you've heard me talk about it with the last, and it's like Todd Martin brought it up in one of his Raws, and there's a lot of people that have said it. If I didn't have something invested or I'm getting paid or something like that, I wouldn't be watching. And Alex Marvez, who, for those who don't know, I believe he's still the president of the NFL Writers Association. He's on Sirius all the time on the NFL channel. He has stopped doing his wrestling column. One, and he didn't make any bones about it. You know what? I got other things that I'd like to pursue and that are good. But two, and this is a big kick in the balls, it's not talking to me anymore. Damn it. Wrestling's been around for since, God, again, you know, there's stories in the Bible of wrestling, for God's sakes. It's been around since the dawn of time. I cannot believe that people are walking away from wrestling. And it doesn't have to be that way. I'm not going to say for no reason, but it doesn't have to be that way.
Well, and that's the thing we're fighting up against. I mean, you know, that's one of the things that we have to, you know, the promotion is great. You know, I mean, we have more promotion, but are we promoting the right things? You know, and you brought up a point. You said that's the deal with soap opera writers. I have no problem with WWE hiring soap opera writers, but can't we hire the good ones? Because the problem is we're getting the bad ones. I mean, this soap opera thread, you know, Luke and Laura, that storyline thread has been going on for, what, 25 years? And they've been divorced and they've been back together or whatever. I'm not really sure what the deal is, but, like, I know if I turned on General Hospital and I saw those two, somebody could tell me what's going on. Soap operas have plenty of long-term storylines, so let's not blame soap operas. I think it's the guy on top. I don't necessarily think it's Vince going crazy. I think Vince just doubts. He doesn't have Pat Patterson, and I'm not saying that Pat Patterson was rude to him and told him to shut the F up and slapped him around. I just think Pat stood up to him because Pat was from the old guard. He worked for his dad. I think people working for Vince's dad had a huge effect on Vince. That's why I think he had Slaughter around. That's why I think he had Arne Skolund around for so long. You know, those guys.
I'll even take it back to guys like Sweet Hansen. He was always partial for some reason to Sweet Hansen, who was way past his prime, but had a job as an agent for a while.
And I'm talking, office guy, you know, like, but I think Sweet had a place on the business side of things because he could, again, an older guy who could help calm people down and just a big bear of a man and all that good stuff. But Gurria, you know, these guys, I don't think these are the guys that are having problems speaking up to Vince. I just don't think he's listening to him anymore. You know, I mean, I remember when I wrestled the dark match, and this is probably 10 years ago, and Tony Gurria said, I said, do you have any advice? He said, the best advice I can give you is don't do anything stupid. And I said, that's really good advice. And he laughed. And I said, no, I mean it. That's really good advice because I've seen guys do moonsaults and land on their head and hurt the other guy and really just kind of ruin their chances. And, you know, I kind of knew what he was going to say anyway. But so I just didn't do anything stupid. And you know what? You get more mileage out of not doing – sometimes you get more mileage out of not doing something than you do out of doing something. So, but I think Vince McMahon could do that, could take that same advice from Tony Gurria and not do something stupid. Why? Let's let The Rock be Rock. Let's let John Cena be John Cena, and let's see what happens. Who cares if they? I don't care if they boo John Cena out of the building. He'll have the same reaction the next day. And I don't think anybody truly hates John Cena. I think all these guys that say that, oh, if John Cena wins, I'm going to riot, or if John Cena wins, I'm going to not watch wrestling anymore. I don't think it's like that. I think John Cena is just the guy you boo. That's all he is. And I think they'd shake his hand. I think they'd get his autograph. John's a good guy. I know John very casually. You know, that's the issue there. I don't think there's a deep-seated hatred for John Cena. So I just think that we should let John Cena be John Cena and be the biggest star. Let's let the biggest star in wrestling wrestle the biggest star in wrestling who went to become one of the biggest stars in Hollywood. Isn't that the story enough? Do we have to invent more things and he didn't shake my hand and all this stuff? Can't we just say that John Cena wants to be everything that The Rock wants to be and The Rock, I come back and this is the respect you give me and blah, blah, blah. And I'm not saying it should be gentlemanly agreement, but let's just let them be two dynamic guys like they were on Monday. And isn't that enough? You know, who's going to tell The Undertaker what to do? Who's going to tell Triple H what to do? That's why there's such great promos. Imagine walking up to Undertaker and say, you know, yeah, granted, I'm sure he gets a lot of bullet points, and Undertaker isn't the greatest promo of all time, but The Undertaker saying anything is the coolest thing in the world because he's The Undertaker. And then Triple H comes out, and Triple H is a great promo, so he knocks it out of the park, and now we have a match that people want to see. Not that they didn't want to see it before, but now they really want to see it. You know, and then Punk and Jericho step up. I mean, this is how it should be, you know, and I don't see it. Back in the day, there were a million guys that could promo because they had to. They had to do 30 promos a week talking about every town and where they're going to come to every town, and they might have to do two promos on TV every week. So, but now they're not getting that same experience. And if they are, they're overthinking it. They're overanalyzing it. They're trying to think of cool things to say instead of just speaking from the heart. I think a lot of guys don't keep it real enough. I think they're trying to invent personalities and invent situations and say the new trendy cool thing that's going to be a T-shirt. I don't think they should worry about any of that stuff.
Oh, Austin, did you say trending?
Trending. Austin 316 wasn't supposed to be a T-shirt. The fans created the best-selling T-shirt of all time. Austin didn't. WWF marketing didn't. You know, NWO, we're still not sure because Hogan's such a carny. We can't really tell if Hogan made that up on the fly or if that was something that they had in the back. I'm still not really sure how that word was invented, the New World Order. But, again, the second or third best-selling T-shirt of all time. You know, and The Rock came up with all his catchphrases. So, but he didn't come up with them as he said a lot of catchphrases that didn't catch on. So I think we're overthinking all this stuff, and I think we should just get back to, yes, give the guys bullet points. You have to get these 3 points over for WrestleMania. But why don't you try to go out and say it yourself? I think agenting, producing, should be correcting rather than giving them stuff to do. I think when they come back, you should correct them, and then they'll do it better next week. And I understand it's live TV, but I have a feeling a guy, like you said, a guy stumbling a little bit is way more natural and cooler than everybody saying horrible lines perfectly every time.
Like Scott Steiner, it would drive me nuts. People are like, God, he's raw. And Scott Steiner in WCW went off the rails too much for me, where it was just like, okay, a lot of this stuff, you know, I kind of would know what he's talking about, and I don't really like it. But there was a very raw thing there because it was a big, scary guy looking like he was going to kill you and sounding like he was going to kill you.
Right. And in TNA, when he says a bunch of crazy stuff, now we've kind of turned it into what Scott Steiner is.
Yeah.
You know, and Scott Steiner's a good dude. He's not a nut. You know, I mean, he's a good dude. I've talked to him. He's a nice guy. You know, and his brother's a nice guy, too. I mean, but they're, you know, that wackiness is obviously in him somewhere. So he just uses it to the – they found a way to make that marketable to a certain degree, for lack of a better term. But if he – you know, and the big Papa Pump thing was cool. But if he had and he had a few cool – quotes, but I think there's people that shouldn't be worried about catchphrases. There's people that should be worried about properly punching someone in the face without really punching them in the face. And they should be doing stuff in the ring that makes people want to hear you talk. You know, and that's something for, I guess, for another day because we're running out of time here. But the old school thing, I think, the lesson we should learn is just that I think these guys have to. It's something I always talk about too, Mike. Is they have to. We have to borrow more from the past to make it fresh again. And I don't mean we have to do everything like Bruno Sammartino did it and Killer Kowalski. But you know what? Wouldn't hurt us to watch those matches and see what those guys did right. So and I will correct Maria because I'm a Northeast guy. You know, Bruno was probably the only other guy that was on top longer than Cena around here anyway, in WWF, WWE. So.
And, you know, to get to see Mike become one of those guys, Mike Bennett become one of those guys for the future this Sunday, which, by the way, that show at the Hammerstein Ballroom, you can actually order just by going to ringsiderap.com.
$9.99.
Click the little button, you know, getting towards the end here, and I would be remiss if I didn't get a chance to get in all of Les's plugs, which, of course, are epwt.com. If you need to contact Les at epwt.com. You know, you're talking about learning from the past. Hey, dummies out there, get Lesson to do a seminar for not only your guys, but for you, because odds are, if you're booking your promotion, you're probably not as good as you think you are.
Les is awesome. I totally highly recommend it. He still helps me with my matches. I'm not too old or too smart to ask questions of people that are older and better than me. So,
And Les doesn't have a Twitter, but we do, at Ringside Rap. Doc, at just at Ringside Rap. Oh, that's true. He does have a Facebook. You can actually check him out on there. My Twitter handle, at Semper Vivi. And yep. Brutal Bob Evans is very simply, at Brutal Bob Evans. And, Bob, we got about 90 seconds left here. What can you give to not only the people out there to get them to buy the Ring of Honor pay-per-view, but also to get in a shot at Rich Tate, who is hiding in production right now, still probably with his pants down and his jaw down on the desk, being so
you
happy
know,
that Maria talked to him.
That's it is. It's true. And the fact that it should speak volumes for me, the way I get received by females and the way he does when he was trying to get Maria for hours to talk to him, and I said, I'll be right back, and 90 seconds later she had responded to him and said she would be on the show. So that tells you everything you need to know about me and Rich Tate. So, but I really enjoyed this. I hope I wasn't a pale comparison to Mr. Les Thatcher. I always enjoy being here. You guys are one of my favorite shows. I am actually going to try to stick a major announcement in here in the next couple weeks. I got to smooth everything out, but I told you I would break it here first, so, and I will.
Awesome. Awesome, yep. Awesome. And as much as Rich wants you to be the 37th Beatle, as far as I'm concerned, you're in the Beatles. There's no, who's that drummer before Ringo? Exactly. Nobody knows who he is. That's going to be Rich Tate now, and you're in here. So, everybody, have a good night. We'll talk to you next week.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.